supposed to be here tonight to talk about the inner city. Something that I hope doesn't happen is that we treat people down here as exhibits in the zoo, and the people upstairs as interested observers. I'm not sure I'm happy about this idea of segregating. It's possible. To have all kinds of discussions on the inner city. You know some of the possibilities. To have a lot of people offering pious prejudices and unpious prejudices, long stories, and it'd be a very dull discussion. I presume most of you are here because you think the inner city is something that's worth talking about. But there are a lot of problems there that we're interested in understanding how different people look at it, including some people who live in the inner city. I'm going to try to avoid making any speeches or offering any opinions of my own, except that I am going to exercise the moderator's privilege. I'm going to occasionally maybe clarify things that people say or try to get clarification. I may rule some kind of statement out of order, and finally you can always unseat the moderator if you don't like the way things are going. I don't know where to begin, but I'd like to suggest a place to begin. Some of you live in the inner city, do you not? I'd like to know whether you feel that people who don't live in the inner city and who talk a lot about it usually know what they're talking about. All right, some of you shake your heads. What do you mean? Go ahead.
Well, they don't have any problems with them because they don't live with them, and they don't know what it's like.
What was the question?
They don't know what it's like?
Yeah.
So they can't talk about it?
Yeah, well, they can talk about it. They can read the newspapers, you know, about them. And sometimes the newspaper stretches the truth, and then they think, you know, all Negroes are bad. Because, you know, one person does something, then they criticize everybody.
Are you asking
people that? I don't care.
I'm asking the inner city people whether they respect the opinion of people who do not live in the inner city when they start talking about
Trump.
No.
Yes, people
Well, I would like first to hear from some people who live in the inner city. You see, I'm asking this question because some of the people who do live in the inner city made statements today about the distorted notions that other people have, the phony statements that they make. And I'd like to get them talking about
this. I would respect your opinion, but if it's not right, I don't think I go by it. I tell me if you're wrong.
Well, what's right and what's wrong?
Well, how they know is what they read in newspapers, and newspapers are
what is the inner city? Talk louder. Talk louder. Is there such a thing as the inner city, or is this just something we have to help?
It's kind of a division between two places. Inner city is usually where most of the north class people live, the white people that can't afford to get out. Then you don't split it up into the suburbs, you know, the high class people get out to live. So the inner city is just a major, like a division. You know?
What's the problem of the inner city? What are we talking about? What are we here to talk about?
Racism.
Racism? Is that the problem of the inner city?
Yes.
One of them.
What?
That's one of the problems. Yeah. out of here, Chuck.
Economics, all that. All the same category.
I think how the life difference from prison lives in the poverty area is the close poverty and the problems that the suburban kids have. How their lives are different.
Okay. How their lives are different.
How their lives are different.
I don't know. Well, I live out in the country, but I'm pretty proud of the, you know, the regulars, the main city part. But I can see a big difference between the kids that go to, like, my high school or our high school and the kids that go to the city. It just seems like we're more, we have lakes and stuff out by where we live, and we're not so crowded. We're more outdoor type than some of the city kids.
John, don't you think that it'd be different if we had more colored people that lived around the region?
I'm not talking about colored people, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, but I mean, city people, if there are more of them that moved out to where we live,
well, sure, it would be different.
Well, it would make it different. What would make it that much more different?
Is it the fact that people live in the inner city that makes it hard? Suppose everybody could move out of the inner city.
Well, then it would still be divided into an inner city and another inner city because a lot of people that could afford it are not going to go out to a better place yet. So it just keeps that, you just keep fighting it.
Well, what's the problem?
Some people like the inner city.
What's the problem? Is the problem that some people live close to downtown and all the stores?
What problem are you talking about?
I'm trying to find out what the inner city is. What's the problem with the inner city? Is it that some people live downtown? What's wrong with that? It's too crowded. Let me try another guy. If we're going to talk about the problem of the inner city, presumably some think that there's something that can't be done. There is a problem. I'm not clear what the problem is. But you think something can be done about it? Well, what can be done about it, or why can't something be done about it?
Mostly race problems, I think. And here, race problems. Some of the people just don't try to get along with the others, you know. No matter what race, they don't try to get along. If more people would try, there wouldn't be such a big problem of fighting anything. That's my main problem.
I'm going to try something different. I'm going to raise the question of black power. Is that all right? I'd like to know what some people understand about black power. You read this phrase a lot, you hear a lot about it. Some people are very disturbed about it. Is there anybody here who feels he would be willing to defend black power? Me. All right.
Keep downtown.
Well, I look at black power.
All right, tell us what it is.
Well, the way I see black power is just there's a form of getting the Negro people together and just teaching them of their heritage and all this, you know, them joining them as one group, like, you know.
Who does this? Who does this?
Well, actually, I don't really know who does it, but no, we had some people come to our school and talk about it, and they just said it was just to form them together, you know, as a whole.
Tom, what people were they?
They said they were black racists. I don't know where they came from.
Knowing your names?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have read Sophie Carmichael's book, Black Power? Anybody? And has anyone read that? How many of you have read anything by? I'm going to ask a different question. How many of you who are not ordinarily, how many of you are not pastel, sort of pink pastel? How many of you are not ordinarily called white, prefer to be called black rather than Negro? Okay, Ron, why?
Why?
Yeah.
Wow, well. You're going to be called white and Caucasian, wouldn't you? Or anything else? What about you?
Well, you know.
If the majority wants to be called black, I want to be called black. If the majority wants to be called Negro, I want to be called Negro. That's all it is. That's what the majority wants. That's what I said myself. I don't know what you said.
Robert, do you want to be called black? You said black.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we are just white men, polite way of calling me cool. When I let go of a butt.
Do what?
When I let go of a butt, we call it double jack.
You know, a lot of people in the Black Power movement make a great deal out of being called black. They resent the term Negro and color. I wonder how many of you have thought about why. The other adjustments that they want to go along with the majority. Because the majority, at least when they started, weren't even being called black. How many of you have read any of the other writings of people like Malcolm X or Ron Mahler Karenga? None of you? Yeah. Alder? He's not. He's sort of different. I'd like to recommend that some of you read this little book by Sophie Carmichael called Black Power. I think it'd be a real education. You might find out, for example, why a lot of the things that newspapers say aren't right. Why many people misunderstand the Black Power movement. But I hope that by talking about Black Power, we could get into some of the real issues that are in conflict in the inner cities. What's your name, Patrick?
Jim.
Sharon, for you.
I know about Black Power in Minneapolis on the north side. It's, as Tom said, they're trying to make the Negroes made for blacks have pride in themselves, and the whole Black Power is like militant, you know, a militant way, and sometimes they have teachings of sort of hate for other minorities, and they kind of sneer, you know, sort of build themselves up. I mean, they like, you know, to have people in government and as equal, like not having any handouts from the whites or anything like that. Like having the power by any means possible. Like if they had to come to a revolution or something, they would come, they would be right here.
Yeah, but what would a revolution really do for the colored people? Wouldn't it just put them behind instead of ahead?
They, by rioting it, to me, it's got them ahead and behind, because like the NAACP, a lot of people went for that, but they seen that there wasn't too much happening, but there was. There's a lot to that. So we just joined Black Power.
What are you doing here?
For what?
What are you doing?
Hmm. I was gonna get a membership in NAACP. Didn't have the money.
Some of you must have heard negative feelings about Black Power. I've never been in a community of white people where black people didn't. I'd like to hear from some of you who have very negative feelings about Black Power. I assume you're all, none of you, of course, are racially prejudiced. You all want to end discrimination and all the attendant evil. You don't like the Black Power. Anyone who feels that way, they don't explain why. How about some of the stuffier people upstairs? I cannot believe that there's no one here who there isn't a single person here who's against the Black Power.
Living in northeast Minneapolis has been panelling for 5 years. Just to tell us, and maybe he can tell us why there aren't any others.
My name is Dick. Before I go on, I want to explain today. Myself, I would prefer just to call Dick instead of Black. Because if all of us really were right together, we wouldn't look at the color of the skin. We would look at each other as individuals. So like Don was saying that I am the only Negro in this all right district, which is in northeast Minneapolis. The reason you hear so many people chuckling because I've been telling this for 3 times now. This is one of my 4th times. And so they don't have to listen. Well, maybe some can already say it. This may be my final time. I may retire pretty soon. I don't think I can change the story. I just gotta feel like what it is. But we moved to northeast Minneapolis about 4 years ago. And we learned that we were going to be the only Negro family because we are renting from this landlord. And he told us that we were going to be the only Negro family in this district. So then I didn't pay much attention to it. But then I kind of broke more in when my father and I, we went down to the school and we went down to enroll. And he told me constantly that I was going to be the first Negro at the school. Well, I was shook. And well, I think it was just the fear part, because I didn't want to be, I wasn't used to all the staring. I wasn't used to be called names. But I knew that this was probably going to happen, so I had to face it. And so then I, on the very first day it happened, even before I put my foot into the school, I already faced my first test, but someone already called me a name. But I knew that I had to go on, so I went on and went into it at the school. And it seemed like a very nice school, I mean, as a whole. And for the whole 3 years as a whole, like I said, I really enjoyed that Northeast, even though there were people against me. In ninth grade, I was elected as student council president, and I feel that was quite a blessing, you know, being the only week on being elected for a position such as that. So we've been accepted at Northeast, but last January, an incident happened, which really should have happened about 4 years ago when we first moved into Northeast. But it finally happened that we received a threatening call. And this person, he was calling the name, swearing over the phone. And I hung up. But he wasn't through yet. I don't know who it was. But that morning, someone threw a Molotov cocktail on our sidewalk. And the sidewalk, it was lit up. And like I said, we thought this thing should have happened, you know, 4 years ago. But then it just had to happen. So then, as the days grew on, though, like it was in the newspapers, on the television, it was on the radio, people's tongues. And even this one lady who we know, she didn't know who we were. She called up my grandma and said, did you hear about the Negro family in Northeast Minneapolis? And here she knew us, but she didn't, you know, she didn't think that it was us. But that was kind of something. But the thing I just want to get at, though, that even though we are the only Negro family in Northeast Minneapolis, because of that incident, we received many letters and many phone calls. And the majority of the people who sent these things were white. And they told us, in other words, not to move, that they told that they were on our side. And I think that most of these people were from the youth. You know, for today's generation. I don't think it was from the older people. And most of the people, like I said, were white. And they told us not to move. And I guess we were going to move, but because of these people, we didn't move. But we've been accepted in Northeast Minneapolis, and I'm through.